podcast is part of the Sports Social Podcast Network.
This is a Locker Room production.
The boys are back for another live show on the Locker Room app. If this is the first time you're listening to one of our Locker Room shows, go to the description of this episode. There's a link so you can download the app. What is Locker Room? It is a live audio only sports platform where you can talk with people like me, insiders and athletes themselves. It's perfect for watch parties, debates, post-game breakdowns, and reacting to breaking news. We are going live every Thursday from here to the end of the year at 7 p.m. Tonight, we are going to be recording during the NFL draft. It's going to be fun. We're going to be able to talk about the NFL draft as it happens. And since we are a K-State podcast, we will also be talking about some of our favorite NFL Wildcats throughout the year as we are talking live through the draft. Also, our sponsor, Bet Online. We tweeted out a lot of great prop bets from Bet Online for the NFL draft. They have everything you can want, not just NFL draft. They have reality TV. The Kentucky Derby is back. It's the first leg of the Triple Crown. It's this weekend. Get over there to Bet Online today. Anyone who has listens knows that I usually rant while I tweet out links to the show so all the boneheads can join. We'll have intro questions, and we will make sure to have fun together here on the Locker Room app. It is where you want to be. All right, I actually have someone coming up. Ashton, we're going to let you speak. I'm looking at your profile. Not a K-State fan, random NFL fan, I am guessing. Profile says you are a Saints fan. Who are you looking for the Saints to draft?
Oh, well, right now, there were some rumors that we might trade in the top 10, which I don't think that's true anymore. But hoping either get a decent corner or get a wide receiver too.
Hey, that's what I like to hear. You're also an LSU fan. I can see it from your profile. Yeah. Which LSU prospect this year do you think is going to have the best NFL pro career?
That's hard, man. I might go defense because we already have enough defensive players in the NFL that be really good. I'm gonna go Chase. I think if he's in the right team, I think if he either goes to the Bengals and links up with Joe Burrow again, I think he'll have a great career. Or to the Dolphins, I think he'll have a great career there. But hopefully he can see, you know?
Yep, that's awesome, man. Well, thanks for joining. If you want to listen along with us or talk NFL draft, we'll bring you back up. But it's time to bring up all of our K-State Wildcats. I'm liking some of the names we see in the chat for, again, this Thursday live show on the Locker Room app while the NFL draft is going. We got Justin. We got Ben. We got KSU Railroader down there in the chat. He can hop up whenever he wants as well. There's my co-host, Grant. He will join us as we are talking NFL draft. We're going to have intro questions, as always. We're going to start off with Justin, Mr. Baller Status Cat. I know NFL is not usually your game, but the intro question this week is going to be, who is your all-time favorite K-State NFL player? So what Wildcat did you enjoy watching their NFL career the most? Who do you think is going to be the next Wildcat to be drafted in the first half of the draft? That's fourth round. We'll say fourth round or better, because I don't think it's going to be Wyatt Hubert. You might disagree. And then the next one is going to be How many draft picks, and if any, do we get this year?
I think I can only answer one of those questions. So Jordy Nelson is my favorite K-State player to follow. And I don't know anything about the other stuff, man. Just like you said, I don't know anything about football.
Well, I think you know a little bit more than you give yourself credit for. We'll go to KSU Railroader since he just hopped in. He was trying to figure out the mute button there. But give me your favorite Wildcat that you enjoyed watching in the NFL. Give me who you think, if any, is there any guys on the current K-State roster who you think might be a round four or better draft pick in the future? And then how many, if any, draft picks are we going to see go off the board for the Wildcats this year?
All right, so I think probably my favorite Wildcat to spin in the NFL has got to be Jordy Nelson, or maybe even Tyler Lockett now. On the current roster, I think Deuce Vaughn could sneak in there. But if not him, I think Cooper Beebe might get there. Seems pretty talented. I think he could do it. What were your other questions?
And then do you think K-State is going to get any guys – drafted this year, or is there going to be a 2-year long draftless speak for the Wildcats?
I think Wyatt Hubert will for sure get drafted, and I think Riley Moore will sneak in there in one of the late rounds.
That would be big. I hope you're right. We're going to go to Ben Hitzfeld. Oh, Ben, you're going to have to. I'm horrible. Everyone who's listened to our Q&A shows. Yeah. No, I fuck up everyone's last name, so Ben, I apologize.
Hey, that's cool.
How do I pronounce it?
It's Hitzfeld, but just call me Hitzy.
Just call me Hitzy. I love it.
Yep.
Hitzy, I love it. Okay, so
absolutely.
Who is your favorite Wildcat NFL career to follow?
Yeah.
Who, if any, is going to be a guy on the current roster who will go
right
in round four or better? And then how many, if any, draft picks are the Cats going to see?
Absolutely. So I'd say I've got to go with Darren Sproles. You know, that was one of the first Wildcats that I remember seeing playing in the NFL. And so I'll go Darren Sproles. I think on the current roster right now, I think Julius Brents has good a good call. Chance. I think that's kind of the obvious one right there. But then as far as tonight, I'll say I'm going to be optimistic and say two and say Wyatt's going to sneak in there. And then also, I do like seeing our tight end.
Bradley Moore.
Yeah, I think he's got a skill set that teams are going to want. Tight end is sexy right now. So
definitely. So I was looking at Mel Kiper or Todd McShay. I can't remember whose prospect list. They actually had Sullivan higher than Bradley Moore on the overall prospects. So that's why I all of a sudden do not feel good about Bradley getting in there. So I hope you're right. I hope you're right. You know, maybe Sullivan. I think AJ Parker will be a fun one to watch, see where he lands as an undrafted free agent. We are going to go to Hayes before we get to the co-host, Grant. Hayes, first off, thank you for coming back. I hope a random person doesn't pop in and accost you like last week. Favorite K-State NFL player? Who is the next guy to go in the top four rounds, if any, on the current roster? And then how many draft picks will we see this weekend?
Favorite cat in the NFL? Got to be DJ Reed. He really had a coming out party this year. It was really awesome to see. Next guy to go in the top four? I'm going to put a flyer out there for Malik Knowles. I don't know if it'll really happen, but I kind of feel like he's going to have a coming out season this year. And then was the next one who we think will go in this draft?
Yeah, how many, if any?
I think we'll get Wyatt Hubert in. I got kind of a bad feeling about Briley. I think he'll probably be a undrafted free agent. Maybe Eli too, but I think Wyatt's for sure going, and that's
– I sure hope so. I'm getting nervous. I looked at a couple seven-round draft pick mock drafts, and his name isn't always popping up. So I know he thinks he's going to go. He's been saying round three or round four. I hope he's right. I really do hope he's right, but I'm nervous for him. All right, and now we are going to go to the co-host, the new papa, Mr. Grant. Grant, how are you doing? How's dad life? And can you answer my questions for me?
Hello, hello. Dad life is a lot of work. I'm walking my dog right now so I can get out of the house and avoid some responsibility because I'm knackered. But fave NFL player, probably Lockett, baby Lockett. He's been, you know, borderline dominant at times. He was there while we were in school. And he's Lockett. He's just an amazing representative for Kansas State. And two, I don't think anybody gets drafted in the first half. I don't know who the next person will be. And lastly, I think we get 1 to 2 drafted in the late round, maybe. But I think there's going to be a lot of guys that end up on rosters as undrafted free agents. I think there's going to be it's going to be more of that route.
Definitely, definitely. And we'll do one more quick hitter going around because we are doing this as we have the NFL live – or I have the NFL draft live in the background. We'll start with Grant, and then we'll work our way back around. Favorite NFL team, if you got one. I think you have, ever since you moved to Kansas City, it coincided with Patrick Mahomes, and you've quickly become a Chiefs fan after not really having allegiance for a while.
I've always certainly been a Chiefs fan, but, you know, growing up, it would always be on. I would always be cheering for the Chiefs, but it was pretty casual. Moving to Kansas City certainly helped. I mean, as soon as I moved to Kansas City before Patrick Mahomes, you know, it stuck pretty quickly. I was pretty brokenhearted about some of those playoff losses with Alex Smith. And it certainly helps, though, to have Patrick Mahomes drafted and be as dominant as he is, winning a Super Bowl. It's great. Definitely the Chiefs.
Definitely. We'll go down to Hayes. Hayes, do you got a favorite NFL team?
I'm a Steelers guy myself. I'm not much of a hometown fan of anyone, except you could say K-State. But, for example, I'm from Wichita, and I hate Wichita State. So, yeah, I'm a Steelers guy.
Well, and I cannot believe I missed the good Chef Andre Napier. I didn't see him pop up on the stage. Chef, you gotta give me a pass. But get up here, answer my questions for me. Favorite all-time NFL player, cat NFL player. Who is going to be the next guy, if any, draft in the top 4 rounds? And then how many draft picks are we going to get this weekend? And then give me your favorite NFL team.
I forgive you, one. And I'll go Jordy. He was super fun to watch. I mean, he had a pretty good career with the Packers, and then he went to the Raiders, which kind of sucks. But, I mean, that kind of lets you know that I was a Chiefs fan basically my entire life. I kind of got down the casual route right when we were pretty good with Priest Holmes, and I kind of got back on it with the Larry Johnson train. But I'm hoping Wyatt gets his name called. And then I think you asked who on the current roster will get drafted.
Well, or... I said have a shot at being a top 4 round. So top half of the – draft.
Okay, well, I think if Daniel Matabebe, I think he can have a chance if he has a pretty solid senior season. His brothers talked about going pretty high, so if he's got the last name, I think they might give him a shot too.
You just wanted to show off that you could say that last name.
No doubt.
Justin Hall's giving you some props in the chat. Evan, who has become a staple in our live shows, he has joined. So let's get Evan's, intro questions in there. Favorite Wildcat that you got to watch in the NFL? Who might be the next guy to go in round 4 or better for the Cats? Who gets drafted this weekend, if anyone? And then also, give me your favorite NFL team.
Okay. Favorite cat that I've seen play in the NFL, probably Tyler Lockett. Next cat, is that excluding Wyatt Hubert?
If you think Wyatt's going to go in the top 4 rounds, you can definitely say that.
I'm going to go with Wyatt then. My backup would be actually Khalid Duke. And then this year, I think Wyatt and Briley will both get drafted. And favorite NFL teams, the Chiefs.
Love it, love it, love it. All right, we'll go to Ben Hitzy.
Hitzy, that's good.
Hitzy, by the end of the show, I'm not going to continue to screw it up.
It's all good.
Justin's just having a field day with me in the chat, just heckling me down there. I deserve it.
No problem.
I'm going to have to send you another koozie just because I keep messing up your name.
I'll take it. I love it, man. I got to go with the Chiefs. I grew up in Kansas all my life. Remember, I was just young enough that I missed the Joe Montana years. And so I remember cheering on Steve Bono, Elvis Gerbach, Trent Green, you know, the guys like that, where there were some bad years, some good years. I've been rolling with the Chiefs for a long time.
Definitely. I love it. I love it. All right. And then Justin, do you got a favorite NFL team, or you're just cats and basketball?
No, man. Actually, I grew up in Overland Park and Grandview and Lee Summit, Missouri. So I grew up a Kansas City Chiefs fan. I was a big Chiefs fan way before I was a K-State fan. And my dad had season tickets forever, so I have very fond memories of 90s Chiefs football, Monday Night Football in Arrowhead Stadium.
Yeah, so, shout out to my parents. They actually met at a Chiefs game.
That's dope.
So without the Chiefs, there might not be any Scott Wildcats. That's actually a lie. I think they had some mutual friends that eventually was going to happen. KC Railroader, first off, I have a specific question for you. Do you have a non-anonymous Twitter account? I'm just curious. And then also, how'd you come up with the name KC Railroader?
No, I did not have a non-anonymous Twitter account. And I work for the railroad, and I've been a K-State fan for my whole life.
I love it. I love it. Do you have a favorite NFL team as we're hitting this as our next round?
I grew up being a Raiders fan, and I still like the Raiders. But lately, you know, I really like watching Pat Mahomes play. I was pretty excited when the Chiefs drafted him because I get to watch him all the time. And I thought he was great in college, and I knew they were getting a steal.
Yep, no, that's definitely a good one. Another question I wanted to kind of throw around as we're trying to do this, you know, NFL draft centric type of pod or live show. I want to know who is a guy who got drafted, that got drafted for the Chiefs, that ended up just not having the type of NFL career you thought he was going to have. I talked about this the last show. I thought Daniel Thomas was going to have a massive career in the NFL. You know, he was a late second-round draft pick with the Miami Dolphins. Never really had a great career. If you look at it, you know, he had 10 rushing touchdowns, just under 1,400 yards. Only played a few years in the NFL. Bounced around in the CFL for a while as well. So he's always the guy I look to and think, man, I was wrong there. I thought he was going to be a great pro. He just wasn't. We're going to go to Justin first on this one. Justin, is there a cat that you thought was going to tear it up in the NFL and just never could?
That's a good question. I have to think about it for a second.
That's fine. I'll give you an extra second to think about. And here's the other one I think about, and I think I go to this guy mainly because he left early. I didn't want him to leave early, but it's Terry Pierce. You know, he leaves early. He could have been on that 2003 Big 12 championship team, gets drafted by the Denver Broncos early in that second round. And, I mean, I think he had 14 career tackles in the NFL. You know, he was on the roster on and off for 2 years with the Denver Broncos, out of the NFL for 2 years, and then made the practice squad for 1 year with Houston. So that one has always kind of bugged me because I really wanted him to be on that 2003 Big 12 championship team since he left early. But, hey, get your money, man. Can't be too mad at him. So I filibustered for a bit. Justin, did you come up with one?
Yeah, man. So maybe one of the Brown brothers, Arthur or Bryce. With the production Arthur had at K-State, I thought maybe he would have a longer, more productive career in the NFL. And with how as athletic as Bryce was, I kind of thought maybe he'd have something going too. But Man, the NFL is just different now with running backs. They just seem to be a dime a dozen. So maybe our.
Yeah, for Bryce's credit, he did get 7 touchdowns in the NFL and definitely was the guy who kept the streak alive. And we might revisit that 2012 NFL draft when it comes to the streak. We'll go next to the chef. Chef, who's the K-State draft pick that you thought was going to have a good NFL career and just never could figure it out?
Well, when I don't know if he even actually got drafted. I think he did get drafted in like the 7th maybe, but he actually started turning it around lately and had a pretty decent career. But when he first got in, I thought he was going to – he had the frame, Cornelius Lucas. I thought he was going to be like a lockdown tackle because he was pretty elite for us other than the foot telegraph thing that I think was kind of going around whether he was pass blocking or run blocking. But I thought he was going to be pretty elite. And, I mean, he's had some couple starts the past few years with the Redskins, but I thought he was going to be pretty damn elite.
Well, so this is what I'm going to say about Cornelius Lucas. I'm at his page. I believe he was an undrafted free agent. But in his defense, he has been in the NFL since 2014.
That's pretty solid.
I forget that he is, you know, still in the NFL. I think I remembered him, you know, starting back when he was with the Detroit Lions.
Yeah.
But, you know, I'm looking at his page right now. He had some starts this year with the Washington football team. He has 24 career starts, so that's a good shout. I forget about Cornelius Lucas. But, I mean, he's going to hit pension, so I think he's had a pretty good NFL
career. That's a solid career. I mean, when I think of, like, guys that get drafted for K-State, I always think of, like, the offensive linemen that I want to think that were like really, really dominant for us or really, really good, but they've all pretty much, if they've gotten drafted, they've all been pretty solid, like Cody Whitehair. I mean, you go back to the kids from the 90s and the early 2000s, they all had pretty long careers.
Definitely. We will now go to Hayes. Hayes, was there a draft pick that you thought was really going to take off, K-State draft pick that just ended up not working out?
I'm going to go with Jordan Willis. It's not really his fault. It's more Myles Garrett's fault because after that Texas Bowl, I was convinced that Myles Garrett was a bust and that Jordan Willis would be better than him. So, that's definitely my cat that I thought would turn out better.
I like it. We'll go to Ben. Ben, who's your K-State Wildcat who got drafted? You were on board. You thought he was going to take the NFL by storm, but just didn't quite live up to the hype.
I got to say, Kevin Lockett in 97, he was a second-round draft pick of the Chiefs. And being a Wildcat and a Chiefs fan, you know, seeing Kevin Lockett tear up the field week after week, I had much higher expectations. I don't know what his final stats were in exactly how long he was with the Chiefs, but it was pretty uneventful from what I can remember.
Yeah, 97, 98, 99, 2000 with the Chiefs. He ended up with only 8 touchdowns in the NFL. Looks to have had a 6-year NFL career. But, just very underwhelming on the stats.
Absolutely.
I have a Kevin Lockett rookie card with the Chiefs, and I might need to dig that up later this weekend. We will go to Evan. Evan, who is a guy that you thought was going to tear it up, didn't quite live up to the hype?
Yeah, I was definitely thinking Arthur Brown Jr. as well. Just going to the Ravens right after Ray Lewis retired, right? I thought he was just going to be the one to take over that spot and have like the similar career.
Definitely. And then we'll end this round robin question with Grant. And unless I miss something, someone, if I miss someone in the chat, say something. Actually, I think Casey Railroader, I don't know if I asked you this, so I'll come to you after Grant. Grant, who was the guy you thought was going to tear it up in the NFL and did not quite have the career you thought?
Oh, man. Maybe Terry Pierce is a good shout. I mean, he left early, talking about a absolutely dominant linebacker at K-State, and I think he left his junior year was selected in the second round, and he had like less than 10 tackles in his entire career. He suffered some injuries but kind of bounced around from team to team and just kept getting waived. And just kind of – but, yeah, he got a chunk of change. I think he had like a close to $3 million contract with a nice signing bonus. So that's what really matters, right?
Yeah, I mean, you got to get the money. KSU Railroader, I can't remember if I came to you. I don't think I came to you on this one. Who's a guy that didn't work out that you thought was going to?
I mean, I was thinking Arthur Brown. I mean, it really was disappointing how good he was at K-State and then didn't do hardly anything in the NFL. But, you know, Chef just pointed out in the chat, you know, Bishop was really disappointing. I mean, he was obviously fantastic here and he did absolutely nothing.
All right, so the Michael Bishop question, I think this honestly could probably almost be an entire full Monday podcast in its own, because if you look at Michael Bishop and the guy who he was competing with for that backup job, Mr. Tom Brady, here's my question to all of you, and we'll go around. Michael Bishop, what is the bigger – you know, roadblock to him ending up having NFL career? The time he came into the NFL, or a guy who some call the greatest quarterback of all time, Tom Brady, being drafted late just a year or two behind him and then pushing him out for that backup job? We'll start with Grant. Grant, do you have a take on that?
I guess so. I mean, I think a lot of it has to do with the timing. I don't think, I mean, unless you're Michael Vick, which, you know, Michael Bishop was not Michael Vick, sorry to say, but the style of play was completely different. Definitely more suited to Tom Brady's style. It's evolved over time, and maybe Mike Bishop could adjust and fit into, you know, the style of play that's more spread oriented nowadays. But I don't know. I mean, having to compete with 7-time Super Bowl champ and, you know, probably the GOAT did not help.
Yeah, I'm probably forever going to think that, you know, if given the reins instead of Brady, maybe Bishop wins a couple Super Bowls. But I'm a homer. Justin, what do you think? Am I acting like Chef with a conference realignment take? Just going off the deep end, or do you think there's some validity to that?
I think it was probably the timing and style more than it was Tom Brady. He would have been able to pick up with somebody else at some point if it was a better fit. And I also really don't like this question because you're making us talk about Tom Brady.
Yeah. Okay. We'll do rapid take. We'll give me yes or no. We'll start with Ben. Ben, yes or no? Bishop would have won a Super Bowl with New England if they never would have drafted Tom Brady.
I'm going to say no.
Okay. I guess I'm alone on this one. Hayes?
No.
Oh, boy. Chef?
Tom Brady's a system quarterback. Bishop would have got one.
All right. Thank you, Chef. Although I don't know if being on a limb with you is a very good indictment for me as a take
come
artist,
die on this,
know,
hill, I, Scott. Come on, man.
I don't know if I'll die on it, but I'll be on the hill with you. Evan, are you going to join Chef and I?
Unfortunately, no.
All right, and then KSU Railroader calling in from space, as Grant is saying in the chat.
No, I don't think he would have. Sorry, I'm recording.
No, you're fine. We like giving everyone a hard time. So the first pick is in, and I would be shocked if it's anyone but, you know, Sunshine from down in Clemson. If anything too crazy happens, we can talk about it. So the next one is how what was your everyone's take when it came to the NFL draft streak? I know a lot of K-State fans went back – maybe not back and forth, but I think some folks loved to – treat that like it was his own Super Bowl, and I think some folks kind of rolled their eyes on it. What value did you give the NFL streak? And then, you know, how disappointed were you, if disappointed at all, were you when it ended last year? We'll start with Grant.
It certainly had value. I mean, whether we like it or not, I think this is a tired narrative. It is hard to, you know, recruit to Kansas State. So using that as at least some sort of ammunition did help, be it silly and maybe not that big of a piece of ammunition. It was important to kind of use as a media tool and to get our name out there. But at the same time, like, it was kind of Bryce Brown was – how many snaps did Bryce Brown play for K-State? And he ended up keeping the streak alive 1 year. So there's a little bit of, dilution there. But I did think it was important on a certain level.
All right, we'll go to Ben. Ben, what was your opinion of the streak? Grant had a good call out. You know, Bryce Brown got drafted in seventh round with, like, I think maybe 20 picks left in the entire draft to keep it alive. Right. Did that kind of kill the value for it for you, or did you embrace it?
I mean, I embraced it for what it was. And like Grant said, I mean, it definitely had value to it. But when the streak ended, I wasn't as devastated as others because, I mean, I think the coaches still had a lot to work with to say, listen, you know, we have a track record of taking players and getting them NFL ready. And so even though it's a new coaching staff, you know, they can kind of say this is the culture that we have. So I think it was long enough of a streak to kind of use the word culture, I guess. So I didn't cry when the streak ended. I'm looking forward to seeing hopefully a new streak start up.
Yes, I agree. Hayes, you and Evan are definitely the young ones in the group. What was your take on the NFL draft streak? Did you really attach yourself to that narrative? And what were your thoughts when it ended last year?
I thought the draft streak was a cool thing to have. And it's a nice – maybe it's a nice recruiting point. But like Grant said, the Bryce Brown was kind of – I like to make fun of that one. Counting for us, and I wasn't really too upset when it got broken. I mean, it was just kind of a matter of time, but it was nice to have, cool to see on paper, but in reality it wasn't that important.
All right, we'll go to Evan. What was your take on it? Did you kind of echo everyone, or did you throw a fit when we didn't get anyone drafted last year?
Definitely didn't throw a fit. It just kind of felt like there were a lot of guys that were almost there to where they could have gotten drafted, maybe like Scott France, for example. Nothing too bad there. I think it's definitely more valuable to have a big name in the NFL, so like a Tyler Lockett is more important to me.
Agree. I agree with that. I think finding yourself like a generational guy every, 3 to 5 years that can have staying power in the league and have a big name. And, you know, you can point at him and say, slap a K-State sticker on him. Although, I mean, you say that, but also quantity does matter. I mean, having a list of guys that you can say, these guys made it in the NFL for how long, it doesn't really matter. At least they got their shot. I think obviously we need to be better at creating and, well, recruiting, creating more quantity into the NFL draft versus like having an occasional locket. But I think ultimately I would agree that having that one generational guy is probably more beneficial than some dumbass draft streak with like Bryce Brown or some random guys that nobody remembers a couple of years.
I think that's important too, but you gotta, for the 26 years, I don't think a lot of people can go all 26 years and name every player that got drafted. So whether they were big names or whatever, you could say that 26 years was a big deal. Like, no, we had it more than Texas. We had it this. I mean, before this coaching staff, we didn't have a media team that could promote it the way it could have been done. And as soon as this staff got in, it snapped. But, I mean, if we had had somebody like the media team we had now, it could have been a lot bigger of a deal.
That's funny you say that. I mean, I actually disagree because I think that is one of the only things that the former media team actually fucking tried to promote. They were obsessed about it.
I know it was, but that was the only thing.
And funny.
It was useless because how often did they tweet about it? Once every 6 months?
It was in the hype video. It was in the pregame hype video. So that is a little. I agree with Grant. I think it's one of the few things they tried to promote, but someone's outside. I think that was Grant. But I don't think they did a great job about
it. Chef was making all sorts of noise, motherfucking.
Damn, chef. We'll go to KSU Railroader. Were you upset at all when it ended? And was there a guy that you were trying to pin your hopes to last year that might sneak in there?
I mean, I was a little upset, but kind of like everybody else, you know, it's just whatever. Yeah, I think it was good for us to have, but I'm just not super disappointed that it's gone. I think, not you'll probably touch on it later, but Kurtz had a really good point on his show about Briley Moore. If we can get him drafted this year, I think it'd be really great for recruiting and a lot better than any draft streak we could have had. But I don't know about anybody for last year. I'm not sure. I know there were a few guys. I thought Devin Ankle might get a last round pick.
Know what's wild are the two guys that I kind of attached myself thinking that they were going to maybe sneak in the seventh round. Devin Ankle never got picked up as a free agent. And then, you know, and there might have been other stuff that went along with it, but Scott France, no NFL free agent deal or anything like that. I think the lore of Scott France really, you know, started and maybe it got bigger than he ever could live up to when he just put, you know, that Muppet from Texas A&M in his pocket for the entire bowl game. But, you know, Pro Football Focus had him as a decent tackle. There are a lot of people who thought, hey, he might be a late draft pick. He might get picked up. But and I think it would have been a big moment for, you know, the NFL to have a, you know, a gay player drafted. Didn't happen. But I was surprised. And here's something. I'll send a koozie to anyone who can name the five guys who got NFL rookie free agent signings. Anyone want to just put in the chat if you want to try to name the five that got it. And if you get all five, I'll send you a koozie. Or someone can speak up if you don't want to type it in.
I have no fucking idea.
Okay, so Grant's out. Ben, do you want to give it a try?
Not a clue. My question is, did France get did he get picked up as an undrafted?
Nope, no undrafted free agent. Didn't get a camp invite either.
Mm.
So yeah, I think he's moved on with his life, and I think actually one of these guys on the list made an NFL regular season roster. Only one out of these five did. Chef, do you want to try to get name the five?
I have no fucking clue. I'm blanking.
Hayes, Evan, anyone?
I can only get like two.
Okay, Evan, who are the two you remember?
So I know for sure Dalton Schoen.
Yep, Chargers.
And I believe James Gilbert got signed.
Yep, with the LA Rams. Got those two, so there's two down. Does anyone want to throw another name out there? Can you guys collectively get the five?
I don't even remember the question.
The five rookie free agent signings from the Wildcats last year.
Last year.
We got James Gilbert with the Rams and then Dalton Schoen with the Chargers.
There was a different offensive lineman, I'm pretty sure.
Yep, there was a different offensive lineman. I thought the lesser of the two tackles.
Fuck. What was his name? Kaltmeyer?
Yep, Nick Kaltmeyer. There's number three, and then there's two more. There is a
I don't know the fifth though.
Reggie Walker.
Yeah, Reggie Walker.
Yep, Reggie Walker, and then there's a Kansas kid.
It was Trey Deshaun.
With the Bengals.
Trey Deshaun. There you go. You guys got there. I'm proud of the collective group. So my next question, I think it was KSU Railroader who brought this up. And John Kurtz made a good point, and it's if finally time I took a little bit of his material, since he basically just follows my Twitter account, KSO postings and podcasts, and steals my takes. But that's fine. He had some great stuff this week talking about if Riley Moore can get drafted as a transfer tight end, something that this staff is trying to work at, transfers and tight ends in the recruiting, it would be a massive thing. But I want to add something else onto this. I want to add an extra layer because he kind of, you know, turned his nose up at the idea of Hubert. But here's my thing with Hubert, because K-State's currently chasing after Jared Kanak. You know, he might be getting a Clemson offer. They want him to come take an unofficial visit. Well, Wyatt Hubert was a high three-star kid from Kansas, came in, kicked some ass in the Big 12, and hopefully he can get drafted. So my question for you, and we'll go roundtable, A, how important would either of these two be for the recruiting narrative? And B, do you agree with Kurtz, who thinks, hey, Briley Moore getting drafted might do more for this staff as they're trying to recruit tight ends and recruit transfers? Or, and I think if they do things correctly, Wyatt Hubert, especially if he goes in the fourth round, could be a big deal when you're trying to land some of these Kansas kids who are looking elsewhere, but the profile of them are starting to shoot through the roof. So we're going to start with Evan. Actually, no, we'll start with KSU Railroader because he was the one who brought this up.
I think they're probably equally important because I think Hubert, I mean, he can go a lot higher in the draft, and you getting a higher draft pick's a lot better than getting, you know, your tight, you know, Briley Moore to sneak into the late round. But I think regardless of whether Briley gets drafted or not, I think he'll play some next year, which will be really great for recruiting. You know, like you said, to show that we can bring a transfer in, have him here for a year, get him some more exposure, and get him out there in the NFL and see what they can do. I think.
Awesome. All right, we'll go to Chef.
I think the Kansas Wyatt Hubert connection is cool, but I mean, if Clemson offers Kanak, I mean, they can say, "Hey, we got Isaiah Simmons from Olathe, and he's a first round draft pick."
Yeah, and you're 100% correct, and I threw out Kanak and Clemson mainly because that's gotten so much talk in social media and on message boards. If Clemson wants a kid, we're not going to get him. So I shouldn't have used that as the call. But, you know, if Clemson doesn't come around, if it comes down to Nebraska, it comes down to Iowa, it comes down to Oklahoma State, more of those regional type ones, and then maybe even beyond Kanak, you start looking at those Eudora kids in 2023 and just the increasing presence of Kansas kids. I don't know what's happened, but Kansas high school football has improved tenfold over the last, you know, 4 or 5 years. So that's kind of where I'm coming from it, but I'm getting the vibe that you don't quite agree with that.
No, I agree. I think anytime they see a Kansas kid do well, it's going to bode well for the state and recruiting, come to K-State, stay home. And you can still make it to the NFL if that's what your dream is. But like I was saying, like you said, with Clemson, if they want them, they're going to get them. And Iowa and Oklahoma, they pluck kids out of Kansas all the time. If they want them, they're getting them, because I don't know what it is on our recruiting. Until we start winning at a high level like Iowa does, we're not going to get those kids, no matter how many high three-star kids came out of Kansas to Kansas State and got drafted. That's just how it is to me.
Yep. All right, Ben, what's your take on these two? What would be more important? And am I trying to make a mountain out of a molehill and try to spin Wyatt Hubert into possibly getting drafted being a bigger deal than it actually is?
I mean, I could see both sides, but I'm going to land on the Briley Moore thing because of how big the transfer market is right now. Someone, I don't know who it was, if it was on your guys' Monday show, but somewhere I heard some talk about how, you know, Bill Snyder took advantage of kind of the JUCO route, and he actually got ahead of that. I mean, we're not ahead of this by any stretch of the imagination, but to be successful in the transfer market, we're going to have to show that we can take in transfers for a year or two and give them a path to the NFL. And so I think that's going to make the most immediate impact. But I think long-term, probably the Wyatt Hubert, you know, the Kansas kids' success. So I think there's two scenarios there at play.
All right, we'll go to Grant. Grant, where do you land on this?
The Niners took Trey Lance. That's fucking crazy.
Okay. Well, and that'll be the next round table. That'll be the last one before we do a wrap-up question.
For the sake of the question, I'd say, I mean, to me, I think it's more important to get Hubert. You know, the staff, as most staffs across the country do, want to get the best local talent. They want to lock down this talent. And, you know, they said it themselves in one of their first press conferences that they want that 6 mile radius or 6 hour radius to kind of be purple. And with the crop of the Kansas kids improving as much as it is recently and in the future, I'd say, you know, for the longer term of the program, it's probably more important to be able to use these Kansas kids that we have, you know, that weren't as highly rated as some of these younger kids now, kind of as like, you know, an example that we can be an NFL factory for you. You don't have to go to another, you know, P5 school to get yourself drafted. We have a track record of it. You can stay home. You can stay closer. Your family can come to games, all that stuff. I think it's probably more important. I don't personally think that getting local kids is really that big of a deal. I just think getting the best kids is the big deal. If there's an elite Kansas player, you know, obviously you want to get him, but if you can get an elite Georgia player instead, I think that doesn't really fucking matter if he's from Kansas or Georgia. So
on that, I would like to know what the transfer ratio is. If a kid from Georgia, how many kids from Georgia have we recruited that transfer more than the Kansas kids that we get that transfer? I would that ratio, wonder what that is.
I have no idea, but probably as of late, I mean, the numbers are probably very skewed with how the transfer market is working.
I don't know if any of the Georgia kids have left. It's been all the Texas kids.
I don't mean specifically.
It doesn't matter.
If we can get a great player out of fucking Vermont, I don't care.
But I was just asking to say if we go after the elite Kansas kids more often than we go after the elite Georgia kids, because the kids from Georgia say transfer more often because they're farther from home than the Kansas kids would. That's all I'm saying. That's what the plan is for recruiting, keeping a border on the border, the 6 hour border that you were saying that Klieman wants to lock down, is because they have a better chance of keeping these kids in the program because they're not a million miles away from home.
I highly doubt that. Because, I mean, there wasn't, you know, Klieman, that's one of the first things Klieman said, and that happened before COVID, that happened before transfer rules changed, and I think that's just more of like a cookie cutter thing that coaches say they want to be able to lock down local talent. I mean, I've mentioned it before, every fucking staff says that. It's not unique to K-State. It just happens to be that lately we've been missing out on a lot of Kansas kids that happen to be pretty talented, and that's it's not a great look, but it happens everywhere. I mean, it's not unique to K-State. But if we want to reverse that trend, I think it would be pretty beneficial to get guys like Wyatt Hubert into the draft. I mean, if you're thinking short-term, though, and we want to get guys like, you know, Kanak, then maybe, you know, it's Briley Moore. But I think for the long-term, definitely would help getting Kansas kids kind of a pipeline into the NFL. Said.
Good deal.
I'm going to roll out of here, so...
Bye, Grant.
Adios to everybody, and have a nice Thursday. It's almost Friday. Hope everybody has a nice beer or something.
There you go. We'll go to Hayes and then Evan. Do you think there is much of an impact on future recruiting, whether it's, you know, going after Kansas kids or going after with Wyatt Hubert or going after tight ends and transfers with Briley Moore getting to the NFL?
Don't get me wrong. I think getting Wyatt Hubert drafted would be – it'd be a little bit of a plus for some Kansas kids. But taking myself back like 2 years and adding a whole lot of athletic ability, I don't think I'd really care that much. If Wyatt gets taken in, say, the fourth or the seventh round, I don't think that changes my opinion too much. I think Briley Moore could have a significant impact. And we have kind of seen that with Emadre Bebe already. I think this coaching staff is probably pitching a significant impact you can have at the tight end position. And so him getting drafted, I think, would open some doors in the future. But both of them, I feel like, are a little bit of a reach, and they won't have as much of a concrete impact as we think. Yeah.
Good deal. Evan, do you want to hop into this one before we get Steve up on the mic, and then we'll do a couple more quick questions before we call it an evening?
Yeah. Like what Hayes and a lot of people were saying, I don't think the Wyatt getting drafted is going to have a huge effect on Kansans necessarily. I think Briley's bigger impact would just be as a position player for recruiting, getting his name out there more than a defensive end might.
Definitely. All right. And then Steve is a late comer in, and we've missed Steve. It's been a while. We also see Will, the computer, is in the chat, not on the stage. He can hop on if he wants. Steve, you're going to have to go rapid fire since you're late. I hope your wine class went well. So the questions that we have been asking everyone, the first one, who was your favorite K-State NFL player to watch? The second one is, who, if anyone, on the current K-State roster might be the next fourth round or better pick? And then it was, how many, if any, draft picks will the Cats see in this draft? And then also your favorite NFL team.
Favorite NFL team is where I'm going to have to start. Obviously, the Tennessee Titans. I might have to work backwards here. Who's the next player to be fourth round or earlier?
Yeah, fourth round or better on the current roster.
I think, I mean, it's either going to be Imane Bebe or an offensive lineman. Like, I know it's a kind of boring answer. I don't have an exact name. We'll go Noah Johnson, I guess. Jump to...
Favorite cat in the NFL.
This is so boring. It's going to be so boring. I'm going to say Tyler Lockett because that's the low-hanging fruit answer. But I love John McGraw so much when he was at K-State. And then watching him do special teams with the Chiefs was like, I met him like after every game, like got an autograph on whatever shirt I was wearing that week. So I just love John McGraw, completely off the field reasons. Totally get it. That is lame. Number drafted tonight. Was that the other question?
Yeah. Well, not necessarily tonight because no one's getting drafted tonight, but in this draft.
Yeah. I think just Hubert and Moore, right? I think those are the only two. It'd be cool to see Parker, but I think he's probably going to be an added later type dude.
Yeah, my official take is nobody, by the way.
Okay.
So.
I missed that, obviously.
Yeah, and then, well, I don't know if I said it because I don't answer my own questions. I just ask them. And then just real quick, was there a K-State cat that did not go on to have the NFL career that you anticipated they would?
Can I answer that here in a second?
You should we'll come back to you. All right. So this will be the last for sure one, depending on how quickly this all goes. We might add another one because we're coming up on the hour, and we're going to start with Ben on this one. So Trey Lance did just go very early in the first round. We all know how much Coach Klieman likes to talk about Carson Wentz. And then, who was the other loser who went to the Chargers?
Easton.
Easton Stick. Thank you. So you got three NFL quarterbacks in a row, all recruited by Coach Klieman. As much as I love Skylar Thompson, I think the ceiling for him might be Senior Bowl invite. I don't think he's getting drafted, but this is kind of goes hand in hand with what we were talking about, Wyatt Hubert, and Briley Moore possibly. And I can't remember. I might have skipped you on this question, so I apologize if I did. You can answer it if I did skip it. But what impact, if any, would that have on, you think, his future quarterback recruiting?
I mean, with K-State, we've got to take everything that we can get. And, you know, I think it would make a huge impact to see one of, like, Howard or Rubley come up, you know, guys that he has recruited. And then I think if you add that to the Easton Stick, the Trey Lance, the Carson Wentz, I mean, that builds a pretty, pretty nice case for a quarterback recruiter. So I'm going to go with that's a pretty big deal if we can get anyone that he's drafted, whether at
North Dakota at K-State in the NFL and actually doing good and making a name for themselves.
Yeah, no, I agree with you there. Take whatever you can get. But, hey, you know what? Maybe Skylar Thompson has a Joe Burrow-type season, gets drafted late.
Who knows?
Hayes, what sort of impact do you think that might have on the quarterback recruiting, if any? Does all three of those guys being at North Dakota State, not K-State, kind of, you know, mute any possibility for that being a good recruiting pitch for him?
I'm going to have to ask what the question was. Was it about Skylar Thompson, Will Howard, and Jake Rubley?
Well, no. So it was about – so Trey Lance just went very early in the first round. That's three straight quarterbacks that Coach Klieman brought into North Dakota State who were draft picks, two of which were in the first round. Do you think that helps them when it comes to recruiting quarterbacks, or do you think the fact that all those guys were North Dakota State guys, not K-State guys, doesn't really help him when he's trying to bring in the next quarterback?
I think Klieman can definitely hang his hat on Carson Wentz and Trey Lance now. I don't see how you wouldn't. I mean, if I was Chris Klieman, I think every quarterback I talk to, I'm going to tell them about these two NFL QBs that I've had very recently. So, yeah, I definitely think they could have an impact on recruiting. We'll see if that comes to fruition. Whether Jake Rubley was part of that or not, but I think that could have a profound impact on the quarterback.
Definitely. We'll go to Casey Railroader. Trey Lance, another first-round draft pick that was recruited by Coach Klieman. What, if any, impact do you think that's going to have?
I think it could help. I mean, it'd be great for Klieman to walk in the door to, you know, somebody like Jake Rubley or better and say, hey, you know, I just got these three guys drafted. You can come play for me in my system, and I can get you drafted too. I mean, it should help, I would think. So.
Definitely. We'll go to Evan before we swing back to Steve. Are they going to be, you know, I think, who are they going after? Avery Johnson in 2023, who could be a borderline blue chip guy in the state of Kansas, and then they're going after that Torres kid down in San Antonio for the class of 22 quarterbacks. Is Klieman going to be able to, you know, hand out some, you know, Panini rookie cards and say, look at these quarterbacks who I've recruited to put in the NFL? Is that going to help them?
Yeah, I think it definitely helps. Like, I think they talked about Will Howard this year wanting to come to K-State because he was a big Eagles fan and Carson Wentz was his guy. So, I mean, if you get the right guy in the right location, maybe, helps a lot.
I like it. And then we'll go back to Steve. Steve, was there a disappointing K-State NFL draft pick that didn't live up to the hype? And then do you think Klieman's going to be able to spin any of these North Dakota State quarterbacks to help him recruit guys to come to Manhattan?
So Daniel Thomas is definitely the one that I was so stoked for that didn't pan out.
We're in sync on that one.
Yeah, dude. I had not even high hopes. Just like, I thought it was a guarantee. I would have put a lot of stock in that working out. I mean, we talk about like location and all that stuff for recruiting, and it's just so different for every kid. Like, some kids don't care how close they are to home. Some kids don't care about your past success, just their relationship with the offensive coordinator or Tanner Bratt, for instance. And some kids are like, oh, three NFL dudes in the – or, yeah, three NFL quarterbacks that spit out by Klieman, like, that means a lot to me. I think it's weighted so differently for every player, and like, we try to make blanket statements, but it's just a roller coaster on what these kids care about.
I love it. That's a very mature take from you, which doesn't play well when I'm trying to get some absolutist statements on this live show, Steve. Okay, well, so we are coming down. We are going to just end with I'm trying to think of a fun K-State quote. So this is what we're going to do. We're not going to get Steve left. He did not like me back-talking him. So we are going to do, with the news of the band moving back to Section 26, first I'm going to plug, I think later on in May, I'm going to bring on some kids from the band. I'm going to have, I think, Ross Jenspy, who I always like to have conversations with about Wildcat March and some stuff. So I'm going to have a full-on show in May talking about the pride of Wildcat Land, but since they're moving back to the student section, our sign-off question is going to be, what is your favorite song that the band plays? It can be as classic as Wildcat March. It could be some, you know, tune that you enjoy from the pep band inside Bramlage, or maybe you just like patriotic fanfare. There is no wrong answer except for Wildcat March. If anyone says Wildcat March, you get banned. Will Dubois, the mastermind behind all of our logos and merch in the chat, says Slow Fight Song. Oh, there he is. Okay, Will, just give me slow fight song take, and then you can sign off.
Yeah, I don't have any hot takes. I just really enjoy the Slow Fight Song because it's just the fight song's great, and it's a different way to do it that's kind of fun. And I don't know if other colleges do that, but it's kind of a K-State tradition that I always enjoy.
I love it. Thank you for hopping up, Will. Ben, favorite song that the band does?
I got to go with the Wabash Cannonball. It's my ringtone, so anytime people call me, I'd let it ring a little bit longer and pump up the volume. When we lived in Texas around a bunch of Longhorns, that was my favorite thing to do. So got to go with that.
And speaking of Texas and Wabash Cannonball, they play a version of it, and it sucks.
Yeah, it does suck.
Slow, different key. Absolutely. Don't like it. All right, we'll go to KSU Railroader. What's your favorite song that the band does?
I think it's got to be Wabash Cannonball. And by the way, I am pro Wildcat March, but I don't like
Well, I think your reception finally got the best of you. I heard you say you're pro Wildcat March, and then you kind of cut out a little bit. So what you're going to need to do is come back and finish off that take another time. We'll go to Evan, then Hayes, and we'll finish with Steve.
So my favorite is a song called Trombone Number 7. I don't know if you guys know what that is or by a different name, but it's pretty much just trombones playing during it.
Are you a band kid, Evan?
Oh yeah, definitely.
Oh boy, so you're gonna have to tune in to me and Ross going back and forth. I think he was a I think he might have been tuba. I don't know what Ross was when he was in school. But you'll have to make sure that you put on your podcast alerts when I have an entire show dedicated to me and him going back and forth on Wildcat March.
Oh yeah.
All right, we'll go to Hayes.
I'm going to go basic with the Wabash Cannonball. I was a little concerned to see the bands moving back in the student section just because the slippery slope of maybe the olds taking over the student section seats. But I'm pretty excited for next season and having them back with us all.
Yeah, I think officially Section 29 is not a student section spot, but I'd be lying if I didn't say that I think part of the reason why the move happened was because student seats are the sales are dwindling, so better make sure your fellow students are buying their passes.
Trying my best.
I appreciate you, Hayes, and I'm glad you didn't get verbally assaulted tonight. Steve, we're gonna end with you. Give me your favorite band song.
I'm actually just here to criticize Hayes and like say some really rude things to him. So,
well, I'll kick you out.
No, I was trying to think of something that would be different, but at the end of the day, if you're watching on TV, like we're watching some of our biggest games and they have the camera zoomed in on the student section doing the Wabash Cannonball, like fuck off. That is the coolest shit that they can show in the stadium at any given point is the students going all out doing Wabash Cannonball.
Yeah, so mine's actually the alma mater. I freaking love the alma mater. That's my jam. And then, of course, my least favorite song, Wildcat March, is right after that. But well, I'll save any Wildcat March takes for later on in the month of May. Thank you to everyone who hopped in. That is going to be all we have for this live show. For folks listening on the RSS feed, check out the description of this episode. It's going to be on Android soon. Currently still just Apple store for the app, but soon our Android friends are going to be able to hop on. Next week, I think it's just going to be a grab bag. We're going to grab basically all the random stuff that's been happening in K-State sports last few weeks. We might talk a little baseball. Is Kleiman really going to have 10 transfer recruits every year? We'll touch on all of that next week. We'll have fun. Thank you to everyone who's hanging out in the chat. Thank you to everyone who talked. And I think we'll let Steve sign us off. Steve, say whatever you want, and you can use Grant's catchphrase or your own.
Oh, man, this is a lot of pressure. I would say I love the Cats. I love this podcast. Thank you guys for letting me come on. Scott, specifically, thanks for letting me come on or mention me last week with my Fire Curry sign. One of the top moments of my entire life. And love all you listeners. Meet me wherever you want.
There we go. We'll see everyone here next Thursday. And keep an eye on the feed on Monday. I think Grant might have something fun for you guys. I'll talk to you later, and we love you all. Sports Social Podcast Network.